If you guys have your Bible, if you open up to Genesis chapter 32, if you don't have your Bible, I believe it will be on the board, on the slide. And before we get into Genesis 32, beginning in verse 3, I want to give you a little introduction as to what happened before that. In the book of Genesis, there's a guy named Isaac. And Isaac has two sons, Jacob and Esau. And Isaac has a dilemma because he has two sons, but he only has one blessing to give to these sons. Only one. So he has to choose which son will get this blessing. Now, this blessing is an awesome blessing because whichever of the sons gets this blessing, it will mean that the nations are going to bow down to him. It means that he's going to be the ruler over his brother. And number three, it means he's going to be prosperous. So both sons want this blessing. So Isaac has a dilemma. And long story short is he's originally planning on giving it to Esau. But Jacob ends up tricking his dad, and he ends up stealing the blessing. And that means that Jacob is going to have the nations bow down to him. It means he's going to be the ruler over his brother, and it means he's going to be prosperous. So when Esau finds out about this, he is so angry. He is angry. You stole my blessing. And he wants to kill his brother. He is so angry at this that he tells someone, I don't know who, he says, when my dad dies, I'm going to kill my brother. He's a dead man. Now, the mom hears about this. And the mom's like, oh no. So the mom tells Jacob, your brother, you stole the blessing. He's angry. He's going to kill you. You need to get out of here. Run. And she says, I have a brother who lives super far away. Go live with him. So he runs and he goes and lives with his uncle for about 20 years. And during that 20 years, he becomes prosperous. He has two wives, he has sheep, he has oxen, he has kids. He just becomes super, super prosperous during those 20 years. Now, long story short, after the 20 years, he wants to go back to his hometown. So he packs up, he says, let's go back to the hometown now. But there's a problem. The problem is, in order to get to the hometown, he has to pass through the city that his brother lives in. Now remember, he hasn't seen his brother in 20 years. Last time he saw his brother wanted to kill him. So that's where we begin in Genesis 32, beginning in verse 3. So I'll read verse 3 to 5. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, and male and female servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight. In other words, Jacob sends some messengers. He calls some messengers, maybe two guys, and he goes, look, I have a mission for you guys. And they're like, yes, sir. What's the mission? The mission is, go find my brother right now. Go tell him we're going to pass through the city and tell him, don't hurt us. Don't kill us. Please be merciful to us. Now, it doesn't say here, but I imagine the two messengers said, yes, sir. And the two messengers ran. They ran or they went on a horse. I don't know. But they left. And I imagine he waited one day for the messengers to return. They didn't come back. 2 days for the messengers to return. They didn't come back. Maybe by the third day, he takes his little binocular thing, or I don't know what it's called, and he looks out on the horizon, and way out on the horizon, he sees the two runners jogging. They're here. They come into his place. Did you talk to my brother? Yes, we talked to him. What did he say? Verse 6. Then the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is also coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." 400 men. You know, I remember when I was in junior high school, I was a punk rock kid. So like my friends had the mohawk. My friends had the mohawk. I had, you know, super short hair and black shirt. And during those days, these four kids, only four, came from a different school to my school to beat up this kid. These four kids, they were like, these are the big guys. They were big, they were strong, and they were ugly. I mean, I'm talking like, these guys were ugly guys. They came to my school, and after school, they got this kid, and they beat him up. And as those four kids were walking home, I was standing in front of my grandma's house with my punk rock clothes. And I could see those four kids coming down the street to me, and I was scared. So I thought, it's okay, no worries. Just don't make eye contact with them. So they were walking by me, and I was looking down at the floor, and as they came in front of me, they started laughing about the way I was dressed, my punk rock clothes. So I just ignored it. I was looking down. They passed me. They kept going, and I'm safe. They kept going. Now, I decided to look to be sure they were gone. And as I looked, one of the guys turned around and we made eye contact. And this guy, he just turned red. And these four guys all turned around and they were angry. One guy had steam just coming out of his nose. I was like, I thought that only happened in the comic books. I was like, wow, the guy has steam out of his nose. And they started walking towards me. And how many of you guys have seen the Michael Jackson video, Thriller? Thriller. You know how they have those zombie guys? Those four guys were walking towards me like, we're gonna get you. And I was so scared. So I thought, if I run, they're gonna run and they're gonna get me and they're gonna beat me up. So I just kind of walked. I turned the corner, I ran, I jumped over the wall to my grandma's house, and I was safe. My main point in telling you this was, I only had four guys coming after me. Jacob has 400 guys coming after him now. 400. They're coming after you. Esau, 400 guys are coming after you, and there's no way out now. I imagine that Jacob is probably thinking, he's going to kill me. He's probably going to tie me up. He's going to kill everybody, my whole family. He's going to make me watch it. Then lastly, he's going to kill me. Now that would be a horrible thing to go through. And there's no way out. They're coming now. verse 7 and 8. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two companies. And he said, if Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape. I love the Bible's choice of words, because it doesn't say he was afraid. It says he was greatly afraid. I love that choice of words. And I remember when I was in high school, I was walking to my friend's house one day. And how many of you guys know of the dog, the pit bull? You guys know what a pit bull is? It's a super, super, super dangerous, deadly dog. Pit bulls are trained to attack and kill. Even like the pit bull is, it's all muscle. He's a dog and he's all muscle. And when he stands there, he just like, just muscle. And his face is not like a little dog like, ha, 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 ha. No, the pit bull is just like, And the pit bulls, they kill people in the United States. They kill people. They eat people. They attack people. They're dangerous dogs. What makes the pit bull dangerous is they have what's called the lockjaw. When they bite, the jaw locks and you can't open it anymore. So if they bite you, you can't get out. There's no way out. Lockjaw. These dogs are dangerous and they're fast. And one night I was walking to my friend's house. I'm approaching his house and it's super dark outside. And as I'm walking, I heard, okay, this is not good. I took one more step and I heard, and I stopped and I looked, and right there was the pit bull. I looked at him and he looked at me. I thought, I'm dead. I'm going to be eaten alive right now. And I was not afraid. I was greatly afraid. That's why I love this choice of words. He wasn't afraid. He was greatly afraid. And long story short, I looked at the pit bull and there was a wall here. And I, you know, the adrenaline and the hormones came in and I jumped over a wall. I jumped over a wall and I was all full of blood because I scratched myself. You know, I jumped over the wall. Whew. I jumped over a wall and I got to the other side and I looked and the pit bull was still there. And I looked closer and it was chained the whole time. But my main point is that you have Jacob here. He is not afraid. He is greatly afraid. So what he does at this point is he starts making a plan. He makes a plan. The plan is, okay, we're going to make two groups. We're going to be separate. If Esau comes and he attacks this group, then you guys run. If he attacks you, then you guys run. And that's his plan. Verse 9 to 11. Then Jacob said, oh God, 9 to 11. Then Jacob said, oh God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of Esau, my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. You know, so we see here, once again, he's afraid. He's afraid that his brother is going to come, kill the whole family, and kill him. And he's greatly, greatly afraid. Verse 13, 13 to 21. So he lodged there that same night and took what came to his hand as a present for Esau, his brother. 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels and their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 fowls. Then he divided them to the hand of his servant. Every drove by itself and said to his servant, "Pass over before me and put some distance between successive droves." And he commanded the first one, saying, "When Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, saying, 'To whom do you belong? And where are you going? Whose are these in front of you?' Then you shall say, 'They are your servant Jacob's. It is a present sent to my lord Esau. And behold, he is also behind us.'" So he commanded the second, the third, and all who followed the drove, saying, "In this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him, and also say, 'Behold, your servant Jacob is behind us.' For he said, 'I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me.' So the present went on before him, and he himself lodged in the camp that night." What he does at this point is he decides to send a big present ahead of himself. And, you know, presents have a way of kind of calming down people, sometimes humbling people. You know, I remember when I graduated school, the first company that I worked at, there was a lady who worked there, a little short lady. But this lady was angry every single day. She hated life. I mean, if you would go to her office, she would say, "What do you want? Can't you see I am working? I'm busy." And she was a very scary woman. And she made my job and my life miserable for 2-3 years. Every day she was just yelling and screaming. And finally, by the grace of God, we found out she's moving companies. Whew. Thank God. And then God told me on her last day, give her a present. I said, I don't want to give her a present. She's made my life difficult for 2 years. I don't want to give her a present. And I felt God saying, give her a present. Oh, okay, I'll give her a present. So on her last day, I went to her office, and she turned around. "What? What do you want?" I said, it's your last day today. Just want to say, you know, thank you for, you know, helping me. And here's just a small present." And all of a sudden, her face changed. She was like, "Eh?" By the way, she didn't actually do that. That's actually in Japan. That's the Japanese reaction. That's the Japanese reaction. So let me get back to my American. She was like, "I can't even do it anymore." But she was like, "A present for me?" I was like, "Yeah, a present for you." "Oh, you didn't have to do that." "Yeah, I know I didn't, but, you know, it's just something small, you know, nothing big." "Oh, wow. Well, thank you. Wow, that was nice of you to, wow, I don't know what to say, but, wow, thank you." Her whole face changed. I get back to my desk, and then she writes me an email. "Thank you very much for your kindness," and da 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 da. And I thought, that small little present changed her whole her whole face. And I thought, I wish I would have known that 2 or 3 years before. I would have done that way before, right? My main point is that presents have a way of calming down people. Right now, Esau is coming with 400 men to meet his brother. Jacob is afraid. He's hoping that by sending a present, the present might calm him down. You know, give him the present. Hopefully, he'll say, oh, for me? Yes, this is all for you. Oh, wow. Jacob is hoping that is going to happen. But will it work? We don't know. Verse 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. So Jacob now, he sends everybody now. He sends the first group. Okay, first group, everybody. First group, you guys go first. Go. So half of the group goes. He goes. And he's kind of maybe like, he doesn't say this, but my imagination. Remember, if you see my brother, give him the present. Okay? Go. And they waited maybe, you know, 10, 15 hours. Okay, group number two. Group number two. Let's go. Okay, group number two. Go for it. Remember, when you see my brother, give him the present. And if you see the other group being attacked, then you guys run. Okay, go for it. Then he sends his family. Okay, guys, you guys are the third group now, okay? Remember, give him a present. If you see the first or second group being attacked, then you guys run. And he says bye to his wives and to his kids. And now he is by himself. Notice the next verse. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. I love this verse in the Bible. This verse is so amazing to me. Because Jacob is now left alone. And it says, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Jacob and Jesus wrestling. Now, I'm a teacher. And sometimes kids come to me. And they'll say, he hit me. And the other kid will say, he hit me too. So as a teacher, I'll ask him, well, who started it? Who started this fight? So in this case, you have Jesus and you have Jacob wrestling. Well, okay, who started it? And as I see here, it says, and a man wrestled with him. The man is capital. So we know that, of course, is Jesus. Jesus wrestled with Jacob until the breaking of the day. Jesus started it. Now, this is exciting to me because they wrestled until the breaking of the day. That means they wrestled for probably 6 hours straight. You know, when I was in high school, I was on the wrestling team. I wrestled, and my brother also wrestled. And ever since I was a kid, my brother and I, we loved fighting sports. We always loved fighting sports. We loved watching pro wrestling, Hulk Hogan. We loved it. And most kids, when they fight, you know, like the little brother will punch the big brother, and the big brother will punch the little brother, and it's finished. But my brother and I, he would punch me, I'd punch him, he'd take the pillow and hit me on the pillow. I'd take the pillow and hit him. And we would fight all day long. He'd throw me on the floor. He'd jump on the bed and boom on my back. And I'd get angry and all day. We would just fight all day. And my poor grandma would say, like, you boys, stop it. Stop it. Okay, grandma, wait. Bah! You know? The whole bedroom would just be destroyed. And even now, one of my weak points in life is I love watching boxing. I love watching boxing. I've been watching boxing from when I was even 5 years old, watching big boxing matches from when I was 5 years old. I've always loved wrestling and boxing. And now, I've seen many good matches before. This boxer and this boxer. I've seen many good matches. The one match I wish I could have seen would have been this. Jacob and Jesus wrestling for 6 hours, nonstop. Think, like, what kind of moves were they doing? You know, did Jesus have Jacob in a headlock? I mean, were there body slam? 6 hours wrestling outside. Just imagine that, 6 hours wrestling. Just 6 hours. That would have been exciting to watch. Now, notice, because this was a good wrestling match, because notice what happens in verse 25. Now, when he, meaning Jesus, saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of his hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. This was a good fight. It was a good battle. It was so good that Jesus was like, okay, 6 hours of wrestling, that's enough. Jesus touches Jacob's hip, and his hip comes out of joint. Now, I've never had that happen to me, but that has to hurt. Your hip coming out of joint. Wrestling for 6 hours. Finally, Jesus is like, okay, you know what? I'm finished now. And then the hip comes out of joint. You know, when I was in high school, I had a wrestling match one day. And I had this guy. I was holding this guy in a high school wrestling match. As I was holding him, the ligaments on my knee tore. It hurt. So I was holding this guy. My knee tore. And I let go to touch my knee. Right? It hurt. My instinct was, I let go. But it's interesting, because as we see here, Jacob did not let go. Notice verse 26. And he said, let me go. For the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. They're wrestling for 6 hours. Wrestling, 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 wrestling. His hip comes out of joint, but Jacob hangs on. He hangs on, I imagine, just my own imagination, to Jesus' leg. When my knee broke, I let go. Jacob hangs on. He hangs on to, I imagine, Jesus' leg or Jesus' ankle. And he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Think about that. I will not let you go unless you bless me. My hip is out. But I'm still hanging on. Jacob needed God's blessing. Jesus, if you don't bless us, we're all going to die. We're all going to die in the next 24 hours. We need your blessing. If you don't bless us, we are dead. I am not giving up. My hip's out of joint, but I'm going to hang on to your leg. If you think about it, what a great desire. When I read this story, I think, I am so weak. My prayer life is so weak. I'll pray for something, and then I just give up on my prayer. Just give up. Jacob here, his hips out of joint. He's been wrestling for 6 hours, and he's saying, I'm not giving up. I need you to bless me. I'm not giving up unless you bless me. I'm going to hang on. For me, I'll ask Jesus for something. Maybe my hip will go out of joint, and I just give up. I just give up on my prayer. Notice verse 27 and 28. So he, meaning Jesus, said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. I love this verse here. Prevailed means you've won. My image of this is just my own image. My image is that Jesus is standing up. Jacob has Jesus by the ankle. His hips out of joint. And Jesus is saying, let me go. Let me go. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And I imagine Jesus saying, you know what? What's your name? Jacob. I'm going to change it now. Israel. You know what? You won. You won. Get up now. Come on. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. You won. You won. You're that desire of God. I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. He won. He won. You know, what does this mean? What does this mean? See, I believe that Jesus came to Jacob to wrestle with him to see how bad do you want this? How bad do you want this blessing? He didn't give up on his praying and asking and willing to wrestle with God all night for 6 hours and to still say, I'm not going to give up unless you bless me. You know, I'm a teacher, and after class we give kids a sticker, right? And some kids will say, I want 2 stickers today. So you want 2 stickers? Yeah, okay, I'll make you a deal. Today, no Japanese, no Japanese, English only, at the end of class, I'll give you 2 stickers. Most kids will say, muri. And just give up. Muri. And that's it. Okay, you know what then? You don't want this sticker then. But you'll have some kids who will be like, let's do it. And some kids will try the whole lesson. No Japanese. And they'll use gesture. And they'll do whatever it takes to get that sticker. And when they get the sticker, they appreciate it. They have that desire. Notice verse 29, last verse. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And last verse. And he blessed him there. And he blessed him there. Jacob got the blessing. His hip was out of joint, but he got the blessing. Now, we don't have time, but when you read the next chapter, everything went okay. He met Esau, his brother, the 400 men. There was no problem, and everything was okay. Now the question today is, what does this mean for us? Does this mean that Jesus is going to come to our house and say, let's wrestle? Right? I don't think so. I think what this means is that God wants us to wrestle in prayer. You think, well, what does that mean, wrestle in prayer? For example, my prayer list is a spreadsheet. I have a spreadsheet on my computer. So when I pray for stuff, I write it down on my computer and it's a spreadsheet on things I pray for. When God answers my prayer, I highlight it, right? And sometimes I'll put something on my spreadsheet. I'll pray a simple prayer. Dear God, I pray for this person or this situation. Sometimes it gets answered, like so easily. And I'll highlight it. Well, that was easy. Other times, I pray for something. You know, dear God, I pray for this situation. And I feel God, as I'm praying, I feel God saying, keep praying. Don't give up on this prayer now. Keep praying. And I think, oh, I don't want to keep praying right now because I'm hungry. I want to eat a cookie. Or I want to check my email. I want to watch TV. And sometimes I fall asleep in my prayers. I'll pray. I'll tell my wife, I'm going to go pray in the bedroom. I'll go in the bedroom for an hour. And I'll come out and she'll be, did you pray? And I'll say, actually, I have a big red mark here on my head from praying. I go, actually, I fell asleep. Right? I feel in my prayers God saying, wrestle with me in this prayer. Let's wrestle. And sometimes I don't want to keep focusing and praying for that situation. Sometimes I feel God saying, don't give up on the prayer. Keep praying for it. But I'm weak. I'm thinking, but I would rather do something else. But I feel many times God nugging at my heart, then you know what? You probably don't really want this blessing. I want it. You really want it? Then let's wrestle. I believe that God wants us. And actually, I'm in here to actually share my own, not to necessarily speak, but to tell you what God's speaking to me, is that I believe God is saying, or God has told me recently in my own life, to have the desire, God, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. I'm not going to give up on this prayer unless you bless me. I want this prayer, I need your blessing, and I'm not going to give up on it. You know, in 1984, we had the Olympics in Los Angeles. And there was a marathon. And I remember I was a little boy watching the marathon on TV. And there was one runner. Maybe she was probably from Mexico. I don't know. I don't even know her name. You probably do. But you had to run around Los Angeles for the marathon, right? Then the last part, you had to go to the stadium, run one lap, and then you're finished. There's one lady. It was so hot that summer that she's running through the city. Just before she gets to the stadium, she's so dehydrated. She's just so dehydrated. And she gets to the stadium and all the cameras are focusing on this girl because she is about to fall down. There is no way that girl was going to make it one time around the stadium. There is no way. She gets in the stadium and it's just silent. And there is this girl, she walks in the stadium. And the doctors rush to her to get her. But if the doctors touched her, she would be disqualified. So she just kind of says, Leave me alone. Don't touch me. Her eyes are closed. Her eyes are closed now. And all of a sudden, everybody in that stadium stood up. And everybody was going, come on, you can do it. Don't give up. Don't give up. And I was a little boy watching that. I was crying as a little boy watching this. Everybody in my house, we were crying. Everybody in the stadium was crying, cheering for this lady. And she did it. She did it. She did not give up. I believe that God does not want us to give up on our prayers. I believe that God wants us to have the desire to say, God, I'm not going to give up on this. I need you to bless me. I'm not going to give up unless you bless me. So with that in mind, let's pray. Oh, dear Lord God, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would forgive each and every one of us for our sins. Lord, as we are so weak, Lord, we're weak. Lord, and we need you. We need you, Lord. Father, Lord, help us. Help us. Give us your grace. Give us your mercy, Lord, I pray. And I pray that, Lord, you would bless each and every one of us in this room this morning, Father. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.